Oi. Last time. Yeah.
Senator Science?
Yes, sir.
This is Jude. I just let you know I'll be recusing myself from item number 10, so I'll log off for that item.
Okay. Ready? Mr. Brazier?
Yes.
Everybody ready? Okay, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Sandra Sines. I'm the vice chair, and I'll be presiding over this meeting today. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. It is 5 o'clock, and today is October the 11th, 2021. Do we have any public comments?
None.
No. And do we have to check quorum or we're fine?
We're fine. We can. We're fine. We're here physically.
The next item is a consent agenda. We have two items on the consent agenda. If there's any questions on those items. If there's no questions on those items, I need a motion to approve consent items 1 and 2.
I so move.
This is Jude. I second.
Second? You got first and second?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. The next item, we're going to go ahead into the closed meeting. The first item is the meeting with the board's legal counsel for advice about contemplated and pending court and administrative litigation and on matters on which the duty of the attorney under the Texas Disciplinary Rules of Professional Conduct conflicts with Chapter 551, Section 551.071, including, among other topics, A, update report, discussion, and possible action related to events regarding Brownsville Public Utilities Board service to certain qualified facilities of the Brownsville Independent School District, and to rates, terms, and conditions potentially applicable under contract Sections 551.071, Section 551.086, and Brownsville Code of Ordinances 102-17B. B will be presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding contract for QSC and marketing services for bids, prices, offers, and other related services in the ERCOT market with Tenasca Power Services Company, Section 551.071 and 551.086. Number two is a presentation of information upon pricing of purchase power, generation, and fuel, and their impact upon the fuel purchased energy and marketing charge and possible discussion, Section 551.086. And number three is discussion on real estate matters. Can I get a motion to go into the closed meeting, please?
So move.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Our system.
entity and as provider of energy marketing services as discussed in executive session.
I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to go to item number two, which is the general manager's report.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, we have the board calendar in your packet. And we do have quite a few holidays coming up in November and December. They're listed. And I'll ask Mike to do the financial report.
Yeah, good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Mike Perez. I'm the acting CFO, and I'll be presenting the financial performance report for the period ending in August 31, 2021. A copy of the report is attached to your board packet. I'm going to start off on page two, and I'll be reporting on the year-to-date column. Line one, we got operating revenues, $297,780,775. All system energy sales were $133,075,373, bringing net operating revenues to $430,856,148. After we add in other revenues, interest from investments, and other non-operating income, we arrive at line seven gross revenues, $442,886,710. In accordance with the bond ordinance, we do back out fuel and energy costs in the amount of $173,314,833. All system energy expenses, $30,196,935. And our SRWA contribution of $4,888,000. 371, and we arrive at the adjusted gross revenues of $234,486,571. This is the basis for the 10% City of Brownsville transfer calculation. Moving on to page three, line 15, total expenses were $68,126,712. After we add in debt service obligations of $24,919,882, we arrive at total requirements of $93,046,594. Backing this off the adjusted gross revenues and also reducing it by the COB usage of $4,188,000, we arrive at line 18, balance available surplus of $137,251,818. This balance available here was used to transfer to the City of Brownsville, net of their COB usage, $19,260,500. This is what's due to the city. We are withholding $10 million of that from Winter Storm Uri. And so this leaves a balance available for PUB uses of $117,991,318. This money available for PUB was then used to fund $14.7 million into the fuel adjustment subaccount, $6.7 million in the CIP funding, $1.8 million in commercial paper deficits, and $86.7 million for Winter Storm Uri, for total usage of $109,941,406, leaving PUB with a surplus balance of $8,049,912, year-to-date through August. Moving on to page five, we have a graph comparison of the showing current actual budget in prior year for certain accounts. We see some huge differences there between the adjusted gross revenues and fuel and energy costs compared to budget in prior years. And the big difference here representing the Winter Storm Uri transactions. Moving on to the O&M expenses. The O&M expenses of $67.8 million were $3.7 million below budget. And they're $1.6 million above last year's actual. I apologize. We do have an error here. Last year's amount should be $66.2 million instead of the $57.9 million. Moving on to page six, we have a graph comparison of the electric sales. We're comparing current actual to prior year actual, to current year budget, and the five-year average. We see that the unit sales from April through July have been below the other metrics of the year. Year-to-date electric sales are $3.4 million kWh above prior year-to-date sales, representing a 0.29% increase. On the water sales, we are seeing that water sales have trended below other metrics for the past 4 months. Actually, year-to-date water sales were 55.1 million gallons under prior year year-to-date sales, representing a 0.89% decrease. Moving on to page 8, we have the wastewater flows. They follow pretty much the same trend as the water. So year-to-date wastewater flows were 22.5 million gallons under prior year year-to-date sales, representing a 0.52% decrease. On page 9, we have the residential electric bill comparison for the month of August. We're comparing ourselves to the other investor-owned utilities, and this is based on 1,000 kWh of electric sales. We see that the IOU average is at $116.37. PUB's average bill at 102 is significantly below that average. PUB happens to be second amongst these entities for the month of August. Moving on to page 10, we compare ourselves to other municipally owned utilities. The MOU average is at $108.06 or 60 cents, sorry. And our average bill of 102 is below that average. PUB is fourth among this group of 9 entities. So this concludes the financial performance presentations, which was presented to demonstrate compliance with the bond ordinance and the employer funds. Also attached with the balance sheet and statement of revenues and expenses and changes in that position as of August 31, 2021 for your review. And this is, they're based on generally accepted accounting principles. The one thing I will report on will be on the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes of net position. At the very bottom, the change of net position, we see that we currently have a loss of $53,760,861 through August 31. I would like to point out there's two major items that make this amount. The first being, of course, the winter storm Uri. It accounts for $30 million in expenses in here. We did issue out $35 million in commercial paper to cover the difference in cost. But $5 million of that represented a short pay from ERCOT. So rather than record it as an expense, we recorded it as a cash receivable due from ERCOT. If at any point we have to write it off, then at that point we'll report it as an expense. So we got $30 million from Winston Murray. And then we also have the loss and disposition of the Oakley Union plant. That sale of Oakley Union concluded on or took place on October the 14th of 2020. And that loss on those assets were $23.2 million. So the combination of those two is $53 million loss, which accounts pretty much for the change in the positions that we reported. That concludes my report. I'll be glad to answer any questions from the board.
And Mike, with 1 month left and prices where they are, the gas prices where they are, is that $54 million loss? Are you expecting it to stay right where it is, or are you thinking it'll get a...
I'm actually thinking staff is currently working on the financial statements for September. We should have probably completed by tomorrow. But one of the things that we did see is the unit sales for all three utilities, electric, water, and wastewater, did exceed last year's numbers, same month last year. So that's a good indication that revenues are going to be significantly higher than last year. Last year, we generated about a $2 million surplus just in the month of September. So if we can generate that $2 million again here in September, then it'll reduce it and use those $2 million rather than increase the loss. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Okay, we've got permits.
Yes, Diane Solitaire will be presenting this. Diane, are you on?
Yes. Good evening, Chair, members of the board. I'm going to be presenting the General Manager Procurement Authorization Report for the third quarter, July through September 2021. The items listed were, most of them were competitively bid, sole source, or through a state contract. The item under the electrical authorization that's for Wesco distribution, that one was approved as an emergency by Mr. Bruciak. Because the bid price was valid only until the end of August, and we were experiencing some delays in delivery of cable. So the total amount for the Water and Wastewater Administration was $691,147.60. The total amount for electric was $1,050,632.85 for a grand total amount of $1,741,780.45. I do want to mention that the Wesco item was taken to the board for ratification on September 29th, 2021. Are there any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the Crisis Communications Service Report, and I believe Ryan will be doing that.
Good morning. Good evening. Sorry, I was just getting my trying to get my audio working. Good evening, Chair, members of the board. As Mr. Brusiak indicated, we are going to do an update in regards to our crisis communications. We've been working with Han Public in regards to this, and I'm going to introduce David Gibbs. He is Director of Client Services. And give me one second so I can share with you all my presentation. Apologize for the slight delay. Okay, there you go. Mr. Gibbs, are you on?
I'm here. Thanks,
okay, Ryan. Perfect.
I'll just jump right in. Thanks, Ryan. Haven't given you all an update in a little while, so we wanted to give you kind of the latest and where things stand on the overall communications project. Last time we spoke, we had talked a little bit about some of the things that had been completed, the assessment of all the storm communications, spokesperson training that we discussed. And then the latest milestone from our side was delivering a crisis communication plan that we delivered in August to the BPUB communications team. And the team is looking it over right now, evaluating it, and we're gonna work with them over the next few weeks to finalize it for now, but we do see it as a living document that will evolve through time. So that's where that stands. And then the last phase from our side is developing a broader customer communication plan that involves customer service messages, delivery mechanisms, overall perception in the community, things like that, that we're working on right now, doing some research, survey work, and interviews of customers, and developing that plan over the next month or so. So that's the final part of the project. And then we are also doing some creative work on an ongoing basis as necessary. So I'm going to dive in a little bit more on the crisis plan tonight and just give you some basic updates on what all that entailed. First of all, I wanted to start by reiterating our appreciation for all the board members who participated in the interviews we did a few months ago. They were extremely helpful in terms of our understanding of the community, understanding of what issues might be needing to be addressed. So on that note, we wanted to just let you all know very specifically some of the recommendations that Han Public made to BPUB based on those interviews and just some updates on where that stands. So one of the really basic things that we had heard a few times was some of the pre-recorded messages when customers called in during the storm crisis were not tailored to that actual crisis, and it was frustrating for some folks to call in and not even have that acknowledged. We've been working with BPUB, the communications team, and drafted some actual messages for that. And the team recently has actually gained access to the phone messages from customer service during emergencies. So when emergencies do arise and Mr. Brusiak declares that, the communications team will now have access to those phone messages and will update those accordingly, which is going to be a nice change. Being a community resource, we heard a few different times that people just felt like BPUB could be perceived more as part of the community. I know that the organization tries and does a lot in the community, but there's other opportunities out there as well. So we've worked with the team, and they're already doing a lot of community posts and weather updates, things like that, to be more of a resource. But we've encouraged them, and we've included some ideas in the customer communications plan to continue that and really be authentic as a part of the community. The customer report confirmation system. This is what we heard from a few folks also in terms of contacting BPUB on an issue and then the organization sending someone out to fix it, but maybe sometimes there was not an indication as to where things stood. Like, did it get resolved? Is it delayed? What's happening? So we're working with the team, especially as the advanced metering infrastructure gets implemented over the coming months, to incorporate that kind of a callback or automated text or email reply to make sure everybody understands where the process is and how it's being addressed. So you can go to the next slide. And just a few other text messaging system in general. Did you have a question, somebody? Okay. Text messaging system, just overall, we felt like there was an opportunity for it for some really basic text messages for customer updates. We had heard from some people that texting was one of the more important ways to get in front of folks. And I know that there's some challenges with updated phone numbers, but we're working with the BPUB team on that as well. The approval process, we had talked about during the crisis how sometimes when it came to certain communications, the approval process may have slowed things down just a bit when there were, you know, people wondering what was happening. And so we're, as part of our crisis communications plan, we drafted some common issue language and are working with the team to think about ways to develop holding statements and ways to get information out quickly that basically just says we're on it and you know, stay tuned for updates, things like that. So we're working with them on that. And a couple other things, we heard over and over again how the community, many folks complain about rates, but maybe don't have a full understanding of the water side versus just the electrical utility side of BPUB. And just some other comparisons with other utilities across the area and across the state. So we're recommending and working on some ideas on how to beef up the charts that show comparisons with other utilities and put them in a more visual, compelling way that can get in front of the community to help them understand better how competitive the rates are. And finally, just overall, it kind of fits into the same category. Continuing to, we've seen a few different videos and blog or social media posts where BPUB has done a great job of providing tips, you know, hurricane tips, emergency preparedness tips, things like that. We're encouraging them to do more of that and be, you know, continuing to be creative with visuals and videos and things like that. So that's part of our customer communications plan as well. So those are just kind of some of the things we wanted to point out that resulted directly from those board interviews. And again, we really appreciate the time you all took to do that. And then finally, I wanted to, next slide, just give you an understanding of the full crisis communications plan outline. This will be available to review in the near term, but just wanted to make you understand what this outline looked like. We have team assignments and roles. We have some fundamentals of crisis communications, audiences and how we're reaching those different audiences, a sequence and checklist for every crisis, things that always go through no matter what, some levels. So we feel like it's really important to call out different event levels. So whether it's, you know, a lower threshold for a crisis or a really, really major crisis. And we define those level event levels in one section. And then the main section here after that would be communications and messaging and timing within each of those levels with you know, specific details on how to manage different actual scenarios within each of the levels. And then media policies and then a lot of social media escalation and response protocols that we're recommending as well. And the final slide, just to give you an understanding of those event levels, here's just one piece of the overall plan, just to give you a visual sense of how that looks. So this would be a level one of the level one pages in terms of low risk. whether it's just a basic ERCOT power watch or potentially an accident with the vehicle, but nothing too major. Here's some messaging, and then you see the outreach and what channels we recommend using, and then timing on when the communications needs to happen for each of those scenarios. And again, this goes on for all the different levels with a number of scenarios, and we're working with the BPU team to make sure those scenarios are all really appropriate for what you deal with all the time. So that is my update today, and I'm happy to take any questions as well from the board. Thanks for taking your time.
Any questions from the board? Nobody has any questions.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, that concludes my report.
That concludes your report. So we can move on over to item number 3, which is the consideration and the approval of the minutes for the August 9th, August 13th, and the August 31st meetings. You need a motion to approve?
So moved.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to go to item number 4, which is a consideration and possible action to increase the budget for legal services for fiscal year 2021. Mike?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is an item that was tabled on October the 29th. We went ahead and provided a lot of the backup information that was requested by the board. Basically, we've exceeded the budget of $1,859,000. That was approved back on October the 12th, 2020, by $602,539. So we have attached a summary of legal expenses by four main categories, and it reflects a total budget shortage of $602,539. To date, we've paid out $1,892,626. That is about $33,626 over the budgeted amount, and that's well within the change order tolerance of 25% that's allowed by the Texas local government code. But with the additional bills that haven't been paid just yet of $568,913, it exceeded that threshold, and so that's why we're coming to the board for request to approve that additional increase in the legal services budget. These are for services that have been rendered and their own. Also attached in here are the DTRG monthly invoice summaries by matter for the entire year. We got 12 invoices in here. DTRG also provided a summary of fees that are billed. They actually color-coded their worksheet. The items that are highlighted in green represent the items that have increased fees, significant increased fees from last year to the current year. And so they went ahead and included detailed billings associated with those particular increases in here. We've also included, we identified another significant increase in the bills for ORIC. And so we've attached the invoice in here for ORIC as well. So, at this time, BPV staff recommends approval to increase the legal services budget in an amount not to exceed $602,539.
Any questions from the board?
Just a comment, Mike. I guess you guys were communicating with the law firm about the possibility of exceeding the original budget.
Well,
or did they perform work without?
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's just it just crept up on us. We're trying to monitor this on a monthly basis, and it just happened that we had some significant invoices here at year end, and we exceeded the budget.
I make a motion. Services were rendered. We need to pay. So make a motion to approve.
No other questions from the board, so that we can go ahead and get a motion to approve.
I second.
First?
I so move. Yes.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm opposed.
I'm about no.
No.
I oppose as well.
Mrs. Jude.
So what happens in this case? So that's four.
Four no's.
Four no's. Ray?
Yes. Four no's.
Okay, so what does the board want to do?
I mean,
you need more information. You're not going to pay them, or what are we going to do?
You know, one of the questions I have, or one of the concerns I have, is that work was being performed. They were performing work, and then they billed bill afterwards. There was already a set budget, which is very significant, almost $2 million. And then now you're up to $2.4 million with this additional amount. I'm not sure if the board is obligated at this point to pay for work that it really wasn't approved. It didn't come to the board. Now, you talk about there being a percentage leeway, some certain amount of percentage that y'all could insert. But I'm not sure they were communicating with y'all that they were just doing work and work and work and more work, and then they bill you.
Well, I mean, they were providing work that was authorized by our general manager and CEO for matters that came up, you know, on us. So.
I mean, I could see here the electric contracts for ERCOT, $178,998, real estate, $127,000.
But there's billing amounts associated with that. It's not just, we don't approve the actual, we approve a dollar amount based on expectation of how much it's going to take to get the job done. When the minute that was exceeded or going to be exceeded, we should have been made aware of that. I can tell you from an engineering side, this wouldn't fly. Not even close, not for a second.
And I agree with our chair. I mean, this is not something that should have crept up on us. This is something, I mean, I looked at the bills. I didn't look at the itemization, so I'm not going to comment on whether it's reasonable or not. I mean, you're talking about $100,000 a month in legal bills plus, and that's one of the reasons that I, you know, advocated for local counsel to actually bring costs down, doing some of the tasks that outside counsel is doing for a higher rate. But yeah, this is, I mean, we approve a certain amount per year. Administration or whoever's looking at this knows the amount. And if we're going to butt up on that, I think they should let us know beforehand, not when it's already incurred.
Any other comments from the board? I mean, we're going to need a resolution, or we're going to have to.
We're not going to pay them.
We table it again, or
if we don't pay them, then what happens?
So we don't pay them.
Well, it doesn't get tabled. The vote already got taken. So now
they
just have to pay them. So that's what I'll convey to Mr. Davidson and open there.
And our firm as well. We've been advised that July, August, and September have not been paid.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the outcome of this is we're going to need a lot more careful communication a priori. And we're going to need to watchdog these charges a lot more carefully, that it's not an item and then it just goes, okay, that's going to take 1,000 hours worth of work. We have to be a lot more careful in budgeting, just like we ask every vendor that comes aboard.
I do have a question on top of this, is as to the lobbying. I'm not sure why the lobbying expenses are included in this. Is that considered legal? Because I don't see how it is. But we're spending a pretty significant amount, about $40,000 plus per month on lobbyists. And I think we need to take a look at that going forward at some point.
Yeah, it's something we can look at, and we'll monitor the legal expenses on a monthly basis. The only thing there is, as soon as we start approaching within, 2/12 of the total budget, then at that point we need to start communicating back to the board that we're getting very close, because a lot of those invoices are coming in 30 mm-hmm. days after the month. I mean, we received that billing the month after, so we're always going to be those 30 days behind.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had a similar discussion last year, Mike, when we went through the authorization process on legal. There had been a commitment to provide, I'm not sure, I don't think it was monthly, but I think we had agreed to quarterly updates on where we were with our legal services budget. And we didn't do that. And so, you know,
it's something that we commit to going forward. I mean, yeah, we have similar items.
Like it's been said, it shouldn't have crept up on anybody. I think it's something that we should have been made aware of when the numbers were trending in that direction. And we had already discussed it last year, and I think that was the commitment that had been made. So we just need to track it more closely, just like we do everything else on the budget.
So on that note, I guess in every 3 months, you can give us an update on the fees.
We can do that on a quarterly basis, like we do with the procurement summary.
Okay. All right.
I mean, an option, if I can chime in here just really quickly, an option is the outstanding bills can be paid out of our budget that's for the upcoming year, except that that budget would be reduced by that amount. That's another option you may want to bring to this next board meeting to consider.
Well, I mean, we can do that. I think we can bring it Monday if you want.
I'm just saying the option to increase the budget is not something, it just got voted down, obviously, so I don't see that being a consideration.
But we can bring it back Monday to use that, our current budget, to pay that and reduce the current budget for this year.
I mean, the only issue I see there is that we're going to be recording this our fiscal year 2021 expenses. And we're going to be paying with fiscal year 22 budget. I mean, in essence, we're just going to reduce the 2022 budget.
Right.
And all I'm saying is the request to increase our budget for legal expenses just got voted down. So if you have another solution on how to pay these legal bills, then I'm sure we'd like to hear it.
I mean, we did, like I just reported on the for the August financials, we are reporting an $8 million surplus. And so we do have the funds available.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is.
I understand, man.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Good. Another option.
I think we're going to have to visit that subject matter so we can decide how we're going to move forward on those fees. Because we just can't leave them like that. I mean, we're going to have to address it at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant amount, $500,000.
So,
fees that are owed to our attorneys.
So we can go ahead and move forward, and then we can come back to you can present it again next time so that we can figure out how we're going to address it. And then give us quarterly reports so we can stay within the budget on the attorney's fees, please.
Agreed.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and move to item number 5, which is consideration and possible action of authorization for the general manager and chief executive officer to approve legal services as needed for fiscal year 2022.
So yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. So this is related to that item 4. So in an effort to expedite the normal daily operating businesses where legal services are required, BPB staff recommends that qualified and current vendors be authorized for payment by the general manager and chief executive officer. The board did approve the 22 O&M legal fees budget at $1,726,370. On October 29th. In addition, the cost of legal services for the one-time multi-year capital projects is estimated at $100,000. So the combined legal services that were approved in our budget were $1,826,370. So we do make a commitment that we'll be monitoring this a lot closer, and we'll be bringing reporting, I guess, back to the board on a quarterly basis as to the legal expenses that have been incurred throughout the year.
Would it make sense perhaps to table this item and bring it back with the previous item, just in case you need to make some adjustments perhaps there or include some language or a plan as to how we're going to be tracking it going forward? I mean, given that they're related.
This is an item recommending the legal services for the upcoming year.
Or fiscal year 22. Yep. They've already been approved.
Right, but what I'm saying is, as the mayor recommended or suggested, is perhaps we need to make some adjustments to the 2022 budget rather than approve this and then go back and make adjustments, just so you have that flexibility. Would it make sense to leave it for next time The answer could well be no. I'm just asking.
We've been budgeted 6 months. Yeah, I mean, it's
okay.
This number was already in the budget.
Yep.
And same with the next item for engineering. The board approved the budget. We normally bring that back so that we can minister that through the year for those both engineering and.
Fair enough.
These legal fees were already approved by the board. But for a specific law firm report, and that's still.
Oh, it's for the list of law firms that was in the budget. Same firms that are.
Yeah.
We're identified.
There's a discussion.
I mean, we've got to operate with, I mean, legal services need to go on with something with Mr. Davidson or someone else because we cannot stop the train here. And we've got a lot of work and a lot of business going on. Legal's part, a big part of our organization, and we've got to keep that going. So one way or the other, I need some direction on what to do with that.
I agree that we should
not going to work for free.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that, John. I'm just the loud and clear message here is just stay within budget, period.
We understand that, Mayor. But we're talking about the budget for this coming year.
I think it's the same message.
Okay.
I think we need to revisit it. There was a couple of things this year that came up that we did anticipate when we approved the budget last year for this year. The list is there and things come up. And if we see here that are questionable, those are the things that we need to be focused on. I understand that, yes, that maybe they should have informed us. But then the question is that we ask, right? So I think it goes hand in hand also. But again, the legals come up and this year was unprecedented. A lot of things that just popped up.
Well, I don't think it's our responsibility to ask how the legal expenses are coming. I think that's something that should be told to us.
I wish you could say my opinion. Thank you.
And I'm telling you mine. Thanks.
But since we already approved the budget and this amount was approved on the budget, then we need to decide what we're going to do to move forward. I mean, since it's already been approved, right?
Budget on the legal, we can put it on the next meeting. You need to tell me what you want to do.
What was your original proposal?
I was just asking if it made sense to table given the vote or on the previous item, but. I don't know. Maybe we can have legal weigh in on what needs to happen in order to.
Well, I think that our legal people need to understand. Right now, they're in limbo that they're ever going to get paid again. So I think the board needs to say something to the point we need to keep working or stop all legal work.
We're going to deal with another lawyer.
Well, another day, because yeah. I'm not going to call any more lawyers and tell them to do work when we don't have the budget.
Right.
That's what I'm telling. So I can just stop that today.
Well, I think the message is very clear, John. And I think the board has, by majority, sent a very clear message. And the issues that befall have come from that message. I think it's not a vote we took lightly. And it's certainly not one I took lightly. But I think it's reached a point that some of us have had enough. And that message needs to be heard around the sector. And the rest of it, the chips fall where they may. It's not because they're lawyers or anybody else. Any vendor that would do this and process through this and expect, hey, this is what was done and under the guise of, well, you approved it. No, that doesn't fly with me. That's got to change. And we got to do whatever needs to be needs to happen to make it work. Done.
And I agree with Ms. O'Quinn. Under the circumstances, things happened. This was an unprecedented year. I don't think PUB, I mean, I'm just been here a couple of years. I don't think PUB has gone through this before in the past where they've had to pay this much money. This is a time that, I mean, none of us, I mean, or a lot of us have gone through a lot of major expenses that we were not expecting. So this is a one-time thing.
The issue was that we should have brought that to you soon, not now. I get that. I'm the general manager. I'm a big boy.
Right.
I know what we should have done. That's fine, but I need to kind of know what we're going to be going forward here. But firm or another firm, but I need to know
right.
how we're going to operate because I'm dealing with lawyers every day.
I mean, I'm just saying if we approve this, because we already approved the budget, right? We already approved the budget. If we approve this and somebody's not comfortable, then we're going to ask for them to come back and maybe make an adjustment amendment. To this amount.
Yeah. Well, and that's, they're saying to amend the budget.
This is not going to tie him to not be able to move forward. We can't tie his hands not to move forward.
I guess.
And so what I think we need to recommend is we approve it. We also probably come back and look at it and maybe amend the amount, figure out how we're going to pay the fees that are still outstanding and request what we're going to want for them to give us an update every 3 months so that we can stay within a reasonable amount. And there were some items that were like the audit that was done on the Tenasco. I mean, all these other additional fees that we probably weren't prepared for, but that's my thought on this. Yeah. Because we just can't not leave it in limbo.
I guess one of my questions would be, again, the board has already approved the $1.8 million budget. There's no question there. Is this item to approve the vendors as listed? So are we approving specific budgets for specific vendors?
That's what we estimated with those legal for the year. It's an estimate.
But there's a chance that that'll change. Given your old review, you can say, you know, it's not going to be this much for this individual or for this firm. It may go to
whoever you place in there to do it is the ones that'll get paid.
So basically, we're requesting authorization or approval to allow our general manager and CEO to assign legal work.
You also like to believe
depending on the level of.
I would move to table the item with the previous item that we discussed, and then we can take a look at the vendors that are available, and then discuss the reduction of that budget. Because at some point, the reduction of that budget may have to cover some of this cost that was incurred after the.
But if we table the item, that if I understand correctly, he's not going to be able to reach out to any attorneys to move forward. And we can't let that happen. I mean, we need to move forward because even if we approve it right now, we can always come back next week or the following week and amend it.
Well, I don't agree with that, Senator. I think we should wait until next Monday. Everybody took a vote. And I think it's a serious matter and we need to discuss it.
But now we're going to cut this. We're going to add this item to Monday. That makes it, you know.
I don't think the operation will shut down. I mean, they're going to get through the week and. They'll give us a chance to meet next week and discuss this.
I'll leave it up to the board. Everybody can decide. We need to know.
There's a motion, right? You made a motion.
Yeah. Mr. Rendon, your motion then is to table this item, which is item six. Is that correct? Or I'm sorry, item five?
Five.
It's item five.
Okay, I'll second
so
that.
So then, make sure I understand. The motion is going to be to table item number five.
Yes. Right, so with the intent that it gets put on our agenda for Monday, correct?
Right.
Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. I'll second that.
The first, okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay. Nope. Any opposed? Okay, motion carries.
A clarification for Monday, you want the same item put on?
Yes, it's the same item for Monday to discuss and to look at the other vendors that are available for the board to see.
Okay, so you want to go off the proposals for law firm?
No, you have a list of law firms already.
For those are the ones we do business with.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that also gives you an opportunity, perhaps, John, to look at our options as far as how we can take care of the previous item as well. And if we have to make any adjustments or any modifications to that budget or just a plan forward, right?
1.8 and cut it down, whatever number you want to cut it down, it doesn't matter to me. And that's the number I'm going to work with. And if it's $500,000, I'm going to work with $500,000. That'll be the end of it. That's fine. That's fine. I just need a number.
Yeah. I think that's the point, right? Is there's, let's put a plan in or a recommendation in place for Monday.
Okay.
That'll allow you to move forward and then take all of those concerns into account.
Take care of that problem and earn by the same time. No problem.
All right. Are we ready to move forward?
Yes.
Okay.
So everybody voted yay to table the item on this item?
Number five. And we're going to put it on for Monday's meeting.
Okay.
So the next item is going to be number six, consideration and possible action of authorization for the general manager and chief executive officer to approve engineering services as needed for fiscal year 2022.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board. In an effort to expedite the normal daily operating business where engineering services are required, DVE staff recommends that a qualified and current vendors be authorized for payment by the general manager and chief executive officer. So the board approved the fiscal year 22 operations O&M budget, which included $574,000 for engineering fees. In addition, the cost of engineering services for routine and multi-year capital projects is estimated at $2 million. So the combined engineering services for O&M and capital projects totaled $2,574,000. Staff is in the process of reviewing some RFQs for engineering firms. And so once they set up a team and select the engineering firms, they will bring them back to the board at the November board meeting for interview and selection. So at this time, DVE staff recommends authorizing the general manager and chief executive officer to approve up to $2,574,000 for engineering services for both O&M and capital projects for fiscal year 2022.
And Mike, this is just something that you want this money available for engineering services as needed. It doesn't mean you're going to spend it all.
Correct. You know? Correct. It's the same thing as the legal fees. Well, this is something that we can monitor as well and we can report back to the board on a quarterly basis along with the legal expenses.
So
we can monitor and make sure that we don't exceed
it. Sounds more essential to me.
We'll do that.
And so the list of engineers is just indicative. It doesn't mean that nobody else can be selected. It just depends on what you might. We've used these in the past, and we might find somebody else if more appropriate.
Yeah, anything above my authority level, y'all select.
Yeah.
So for clarification on this, you're asking us to approve the list of engineers, but engineering contracts are still going to be brought before the board. Is that correct?
Beyond my authority, yes.
Over your 100,000 or 200,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if I need a survey, we're not going to bring that back to the board. I mean, we can if you want to do that.
No, I understand that part. I just want to make sure that for the projects, like, I mean, it's going to be the way we've always done it, where, like, there's an item, for example, on today's agenda regarding engineering services.
That's your decision on that, not mine. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Those kind of projects, we shortlist them, bring them to the board, y'all select.
But that's because they're over your authority, your budget authority, correct, John?
Yes.
Got it.
But John, even when they're within your budget authority, there's still a procurement process and you still select amongst a group, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Amongst that group or any other qualified engineering firm that's best suited for the work. That's not an all-inclusive list. I'm trying to point that out.
All right, I understand.
Any more questions from the board? So can I get a motion to approve?
Motion, Chair.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? So motion carries. We're going to go to item number seven, which is a consideration and possible action of a Brownsville Public Utilities Board commercial paper reimbursement resolution. Mike?
Madam Chair, members of the board. So the attached resolution pertains to the prospective issuance of commercial paper notes by PUB to reimburse itself for expenditures associated with the board's approved CIP plan for fiscal year 2022. The United States Department of Treasury Regulation Section 1.150-2 establishes general rules for the use of proceeds from commercial paper notes as reimbursements for eligible expenditures paid with BPUB funds on hand. So with approval of the reimbursement resolution, the board will declare in accordance with its treasury regulations and before making said expenditures, its intent to reimburse itself from the proceeds of notes in an amount not to exceed $35 million. So BPUB staff recommends approval of the commercial paper reimbursement resolution.
Any questions from the board?
I'll make a motion. That's a
motion to approve. Second?
I second.
You'll second it? Okay. I have a first and a second, so all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to go to number 8, which is a discussion and possible action regarding a request from the City of Brownsville for release of $10 million Brownsville Public Utilities Board City Transfer for fiscal year 2021 related to the February winter storm. Mr. Ruzier?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this was discussed last week. The board instructed me to contact city manager to see if there could be a possible reduction in transfer of that $10 million. And we also asked for a letter from bond counsel on what our legal obligations were for that. That letter is in your packet. I did talk to the city manager, Noel Burnell. Mr. Burnell indicated to me that that money was programmed at $10 million to be spent this year by the city. It was in their budget. All the commissioners participated in that, and the money would be spent this year. But he did say I would send him a letter on what we would request. He would present it to the city commission.
This is Jude. I'm going to go ahead and say that's what I would like to see happen. I want to make sure that the city commission has a chance for each commissioner to clearly see and have a choice and a voice in this issue. Yeah, it could have been sent via or agreed on the budget item, but I'm not sure. And this is just speculation, but it could have easily been overlooked or not well understood or not seen or highlighted in such a fashion. And who's going to say no to $10 million unless it's explained carefully what the issues are. So I for one, would like the city manager to for us to initiate something and request the city manager take it to the commission to decide what might be something more feasible, like a 50-50 split or some sort of reduction, so that we can share the burden of this issue.
Yeah, I did prepare a letter to be sent to Mr. Bunnell. I shared that with the chair for a couple options of a specific amount to reduce it or just discussion general of reduction. So I probably need some direction from the board on which way you want to go with that. You want to specify a certain amount that we're requesting or leave it open to the commission's discretion?
Yes, thank you, John, for that. Excuse me real quick. As the chair, I'd like to go ahead and expand a little bit. About basically looking for options on whether or not we ask the city to forego it all, to go half and half, or to pay them all, or some number in between. And this is all should be taken into consideration, at least in my opinion, post what other what Tanaska did and the fact that we both have deferred maintenance issues and budgetary issues that need to be taken into consideration. So I did try to reach out to a couple board members, but I was pretty strapped for time. So that's on me. Mr. Bruciak did notify me of this last Thursday, but I was not able to reach out to board members individually to kind of pull them ahead of time, figuring that we would discuss that here.
How much time do we have to approach the city for any sort of reduction or anything that they'll?
We have until this Friday. In accordance with the opinion that we received from bond counsel, the bond ordinance is very clear because we are already at the end of the fiscal year. Even if we didn't have the net revenues available to transfer the $10 million to the city, now at year end, what the ordinance stipulates is that we need to draw that money out of our capital improvement program or fund. And in essence, prior year surplus and pay that bill. But that bill needs to be paid by October 15th. Unless the city agrees to a reduction or a deferral. But it needs to come from the city. Right now, all we have from the city is a request for the $10 million.
So if it's not done by Friday, what happens?
As a designated chief financial officer or financial officer, I am required to transfer that money to the city in accordance with the bond ordinance. So
we can move to get us that
city. Plus, the city would say we'll give you an extension till the next meeting or whatever. I mean, if that came from the city manager, yeah. I think that would be okay. Coming from
we'll need something from the city.
We need something, Mayor, to say can extend that till the next commission meeting.
Next. So you're asking for it then just to be put on our next agenda then, is that?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I would suggest then, John, send Noelle a letter requesting this item be put on our agenda, I guess, I don't know what the language is going to be, but I think it's already been, well, I'm not going to opine on what the commission may think, but I just, I would suggest just sending a letter to Noelle or just talking to him and seeing if we can get an item on our city agenda regarding this particular transfer.
But Mayor, do you think we should suggest to the city a number that we all perhaps agree on? Or
honestly, Art, I don't know. I really don't think it's going to go either way, to be quite honest, but I don't see the harm in suggesting something. That's what you want to suggest. I'll leave it up to either. I guess John would probably have the best feel for something like that as to how to go about it. I mean, what you're just asking is just a reconsideration.
Because we can agree on some. There have been some serious. It's been a tough year. $50 million in the red with the the storm that we had, and then $10 million going to the city. Perhaps we could move, create $10 million. Just saying $2 million. It could be $1 million or cheaper, or less.
I understand.
Sorry. We can write the letter with no number or a number. There's two options we have on the table. I can put a number, a percentage, 50%, 20%, 80%, or leave it open to ask for a reduction.
I think that should probably, because of the way the item is, I mean, it just discussed impossible action regarding the request. So I think the motion could probably just include that request. What if, let's just say, for example, Mr. Rendon wants to recommend 50% reduction or whatever, that should probably be part of a motion or just a broad request for reconsideration. Whatever the case, that should be part of the motion that somebody makes. I'm going to have to abstain either way because it involves the city, but I really think it's up to y'all.
I consider 50% as a good, to me, it's in lack of a better or any other issues coming to play. I think it respects that both the city and the utility board had some pretty urgent issues and had to address. And this was a percentile issue that was extraordinarily and unexpectedly high. And in my personal opinion, should not be taken by the city, or at least the entire amount should not be taken by the city. If we expected others not to do so, it's still going back, right? It's not like it's going to a private sector. So I understand that's the difference there. But this utility has endured a lot this year, and a lot of which we weathered fairly well. But we have some significant debt to deal with, and any amount of money that they're willing to share, keep or allow us to keep off that agreement, I think goes a long way. So I think 50% is just as good as anything else, and represents good faith on behalf of both parties.
You want to make a motion, Jude?
Yeah. I'm not sure how it's going to fare, but what the heck? I'll make a motion that we approach the city manager with a request that 50% of that, basically. So I'm not exact. Can you all work on the exact dollar amount if we need to make sure? Because I don't know where that would fall in. If it's 50% of 10 million, or if it's 50% 10 plus 2 million, I don't know, but 50% would be requested that 50% of that would be transferred and 50% would be kept by the utility board.
Does that work for you, John?
Yeah.
I'll second.
And will that satisfy the Friday deadline or?
No, we need to go
to the city. Ask that it get on the agenda.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. Ask that it could be put on the next agenda.
And then an extension, I guess, be part
extension
of that?
Extension of the 15th.
Correct. But do we need an answer before Friday? Or?
Yeah, I can get them the letter tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, the city commission, Senator, the city commission is not going to be able to give a response before Friday.
Yeah.
Our next meeting is going to be next Tuesday, which is going to be the 19th. That's going to be after October 15th. So, I mean, what may need to, this is a legal thing for John to figure out, but I don't know how that October 15th deadline is going to affect anything. I can't give an opinion on that. I really don't know.
That's what I was asking.
I would think if the commission mayor said it was okay, we're okay with it. You know, if they said, no, we're not okay, then we have to do it.
I guess the question was because, you said as acting.
As the designated financial officer, the bond ordinance requires me to transfer the funds unless the city agrees.
Right. So then we'll be okay with that if he sends out that tomorrow.
Well, we need to get some notice from the city.
Something back from the city.
I guess the question would be, the obviously the city commission is not going to meet anytime soon.
Right.
But would a letter from the city manager suffice? A
letter from the city manager. Right. But you know, he's got the authority. He can reach out to the city commission. If they give him the okay, and he reports back to say that we're going to defer until such time that we meet again, then that will be sufficient.
I mean, the request was signed by the city manager, not by the city. So perhaps if that works, then that works. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't.
So the worst case scenario is if it doesn't work come Friday, what?
We'll release the funds. And then, it doesn't mean the negotiations cannot continue.
Right.
It would just mean that if they agree, say, to the 50-50% split,
and they
would
have to send them back. Have to give us back the 50%.
Right. Okay. Or you can, you can put it towards the payments that we're making in a year. Yeah. You can work something out, right? If you have to release the funds, you can work out something, work on the math later.
Towards future payments of some stack.
I'm sure there's a way that.
Yeah, there's a way that. Accounting-wise, we can figure it out. We'll set up a receivable, and then we'll offset it against future.
Okay. Well, if you can please keep us informed.
Yeah, I'll send it out, Mayor, tomorrow.
Well, there's a motion and a second, but
so, yeah, so, I call the question. Yes,
the motion is 50%, right?
Right.
Yes.
And then the
second.
Second. Okay.
We need
so motion to approve. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
I'm abstaining, y'all.
Okay. Any opposed? So motion carries. So we're going to go to number 9, which is a briefing on crediting of excess unused vacation leave to sick leave under the Brownsville Public Utilities Board personnel policies and procedures. Policy number 9, vacation leave policy. Dr. Guerra.
Good evening, Madam Chair and board members. My name is Emilia Guerra. I'm the Director of Human Resources. And on September 14th of 2020, the board approved an amendment to our policy number 9, which is our vacation policy. The amended policy included a provision that authorized the general manager to suspend the crediting of unused vacation days in excess of 160 hours to sick leave for a period of up to 12 months during a period of prolonged activation of the general emergency plan because employees were unable to use their vacation leave. The crediting of unused vacation days occurs at the conclusion of the calendar year. And accordingly, at the conclusion of 2020, the general manager did suspend the crediting of unused vacation days in excess of 160 hours to sick leave. PUB continues to operate under a prolonged presence of COVID-19 in our community and in our workplace, and employees continue to be unable to use their accrued vacation leave. Employees who use their vacation leave for travel are subject to quarantine upon return, which negatively impacts the operations of PUB. Currently, we have over 280 employees who will end the year with 160 or more annual leave hours, and these employees are subject to having this leave credited to sick leave. To further support our employees during emergency situations, the general manager and CEO intends to suspend the crediting of unused vacation days in excess of 160 hours to sick leave for an additional period of up to 12 months at the conclusion of this year, in accordance with the revised provisions of policy number 9. And this briefing is just to keep the board informed and no action is required. Do you all have any questions for me?
Questions? So this doesn't require any action, so we can move forward.
Yes.
So the next item, Jude. Is he going to be able to participate or not?
No.
So.
I think he's muted.
Is he muted? Oh. Okay, he's on. He's on.
Mm-hmm. He's shown us still on.
He's still on.
I'm still here. I don't know if I'm disappearing, but I'm still here.
You just can't participate in the conversation. Doesn't mean you can't.
He can be on as a member, just like a member of the public, right? I mean,
he just did.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, I'll just. Yeah.
Bye.
I'm good at tuning things out. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm ready to move forward.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to go to number 10, which is a presentation, discussion, and possible action to select a consultant to provide professional engineering and surveying services for the Brownsville North Regional Force Main. Marie?
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. My name is Marie Leal, and I am the Director of Special Projects in Water, Wastewater Engineering, Planning, and Operations. The Brownsville North Regional Force Main project consists of the design and construction of approximately 8 miles of 24 and 30 inch diameter force main from the Sports Park Regional Lift Station to the Robindale Wastewater Plant. This project is needed to provide wastewater capacity to North Brownsville, which is currently experiencing development. In addition, this project will also help resolve wastewater capacity issues during wet weather in areas around the 7783 Expressway and Ruben M. Torres Boulevard. On August 30th, the BPUB Purchasing Department acknowledged responses for requests for qualifications for professional engineering and surveying services for the Brownsville North Regional Force Main, Q070-21. The RFQ was advertised in the Brownsville Herald on August 15th and 22nd, posted on BPUB's webpage and emailed to vendors. 5 vendors responded as follows: Half Associates, Guzman and Munoz Engineering and Surveying, Ambiotech Engineering Group, Gonzalez Engineering and Surveying, and AECOM Technical Services. A committee consisting of BPUB staff, they reviewed, scored, and ranked the statements of qualifications and shortlisted the top 3 ranked firms as follows: AECOM Technical Services, Half Associates, and Ambiotech Engineering Group. Each shortlisted firm will now provide a 5-minute presentation followed by a 5-minute question and answer session to discuss their qualifications. Upon completion of their presentation, the BPUB board will select the firm that is most qualified to provide professional engineering and surveying services to the BPUB for this project. We will begin in alphabetical order with AECOM, followed by Ambiotech, and then Half Associates. And each presenter will have 5 minutes. Their time will start when they begin speaking, and a timer will tell them when time is up. So first we have AECOM. They'll share their screen now.
Okay, hang on 1 second. I think there we are, okay. I'm trying to share my screen and it's not sharing right now. Share content. There we go. All right, hang on 1 second. And here we go. You should be seeing my screen now, I believe.
Yes.
All right.
Ready to get started? Madam Chair and members of the board, thank you for this opportunity to present the qualifications of the AECOM team for the North Regional Force Main Project. My name is Shelby Eccles. I'm the project principal, and with me this evening is John Buser, the project manager. Change to the next slide. To the right, you see the cover of our statement of qualifications, and we're going to be providing you an overview of those qualifications this evening. Our organization, AECOM, has been working for Brownsville Public Utilities Board for more than 30 years. I have been working for you for more than 30 years. The members of our team are located in the Austin office. Each of them have been in Austin for more than 20 years working on the Brownsville projects. Additionally, we have included two local sub-consultants, AGH Engineering and Terracon Consultants, again, who have worked with us on many of your projects. Additionally, we have included for surveying and mapping a company. They are a premier surveys firm in the state of Texas, and we know from doing previous transmission main projects that it's critical that we have surveying to identify the property issues along whatever route is selected. That I'll turn it over to John Buser.
So as you pointed out, the project generally consists of a wastewater force main from an expanded or new lift station at the sports park through some particular route to the Robindale wastewater treatment plant. We're showing here just an overview of the map of the system with a proposed, with not a proposed route, with a route that could be followed. And we have some experience with this route, and so we'll talk about that in just a minute. But that's what you're seeing here. That experience that we're talking about comes from serving the PUB for many, many years, as Shelby has said. We have been working in the Robindale Wastewater Treatment Plant on and off for about 20 years. We have been updating the wastewater master plan several times since 2000. So we're familiar with the entire collection system and the lift stations that feed into it. We also were selected and delivered a shovel-ready sanitary sewer overflow project, an SSO project, which was a high-intensity project that improved thousands of linear feet of your wastewater system, several of your lift stations. That was all done on an expedited schedule so that you could take advantage of some grant money that was available from the federal government. So that gave us some familiarity with your existing system. And then we also worked on a conceptual routing project for a water reuse pipeline to serve one of the power plants that was situated north of, or proposed north of Highway 550. That project went through a number of different route analyses. We looked at various ways to get that reuse pipeline up there. And ultimately, the recommended route was the one that we were showing on the previous project. So we say that that is an option. And the reason we say it's an option is because we've already looked at that route. However, while looking at it, we did find, you know, several challenges. You're going to have coordination that you need to do with the Resacas, because the route parallels Resacas. It goes along the hike and bike trail. So there are easement issues that are going on there that will have to be fixed. And then when you're up by the sports park, you're going to have to cross over the railroad. And there's some significant issues with crossing that railroad as well. So we know about challenges of this project from that route, but we also know challenges because of some of the history we've done. AECOM has performed pipeline projects throughout the state. This is a table from our SOQ showing recent projects of similar size and length. And so we'll bring all those lessons learned on these projects to this project as well.
The North Regional Force Main project is a challenging project. We have done them for you before. We did them under budget and on schedule, and we would appreciate the opportunity to perform this project for you. Thank you.
Any questions of the board for the first presenter?
Staff have any questions? I mean, I would defer to staff before we ask questions. Is there anything that needs to be made clear or any points that you guys want to bring up?
Well, we've worked with that firm for a long time at different projects.
My experience is every project we've worked with them has been successful, done professionally, and completed within budget.
We can work with them. Those are key words: on schedule and under budget.
They're a good team.
No other questions from staff.
Anything from the board? Board questions?
No,
I don't have.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll continue with Ambutech.
Okay, so let me see. The camera.
Okay.
Good evening, everybody. Let me see if we can share the screen with you all. Okay, good evening, everyone, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, as well as everybody else in the meeting. Thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation before you all for the Brownsville North Regional Forest Main. I am Vicente Mendez, one of the principal engineers for Ambutech. With me today is Carla Saldivar, our engineering manager. You know, running a successful project requires three different things: extensive experience, familiarity with the project, and local availability. We have sufficient experience and locally available professional staff resources for timely and cost-effective completion of the project scope area. We have worked extensively within and around the project site described in the RFQ, and we will be ready without having to spend extra time researching the site. We are locally available. We have the knowledge and project experience in South Texas region and are familiar with local geography and site conditions, saving our clients time and money. This map shows pretty much successful projects we have done with PUB throughout the area here in Brownsville. We have over 35 years of local water and wastewater experience. We worked on the Robindale Wastewater Plant Rehab Design-Build Project, which was the first of its kind in Texas. We worked on the Aero Sanitary Sewer Overflow Projects under President Obama. If you all remember, we even finished that project well ahead of schedule, and we're giving additional projects. That was on a 30-day fast track. We worked on the surveying CIP water and sewer rehab. We worked on the sports park. Currently, we have a project with PUB to do the North Colonia Sanitary Sewer Collection System. That pretty much entails Paredes Line Road in front of Titan Building and the Central Avenue between Michelle Drive to Morrison Road. That project has a 4-month schedule. It's been 2 months and we're already at 80%. So we should be turning that into you all fairly quickly. Why Ambutech? We are the only local engineering firm with extensive experience and expertise in right-of-way acquisition, in-house land surveying, and engineering design of wastewater conveyance and treatment infrastructure necessary to assist PUB meet its goals. We're very familiar with PUB systems and their staff. We're locally available for frequent coordination, literally a phone call away. Our team members have an established history of working together. We bring together local, regional, and nationwide experience, and we definitely are very excited about the opportunity and committed to providing the Brownsville Public Utilities Board a first-class customer service. And with that, I will open it up for questions. Thank you.
Questions. Yeah, we're a lot of Ambutech. Mm-hmm. Did a good job for us. A lot of projects they've done. Important table looking at all the projects.
No questions on the board.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll continue finally with Half Associates. The final presenter.
Thank you all. Let me share my screen with you guys.
And Marie can trying to turn my video on. Unless y'all don't want to see me, that's fine. I'll go ahead and start, although I don't believe you can see me, can you, Marie?
I don't see you, but I see the presentation.
Let's start okay. Without it. Y'all have been here long enough. 1 second. All right. Ready, John? Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for giving HAP Associates this opportunity to present our qualifications to you today. I know it's been a long night. My name is Bobby Bailly, Vice President and Director of Public Works with South Texas. And with me is John Clint Brown, Brownsville Operations Manager for our office located down the street from me on Paredes Line. In the next 5 minutes, hopefully four, we want to communicate to you why HAP Associates should be selected to function as an extension of your staff in successfully completing your North Regional Force Main project. John and a staff of seven here in Brownsville will be supported by the McAllen office staff of nearly 50 professionals that have been working on either Brownsville PUB or City of Brownsville projects during their career. Supplementing John's local team will be professionals from our offices throughout Texas. With a network of 1,100 plus employees, we can provide every tool in the infrastructure toolbox, especially those needed on your large diameter force main projects such as this one. Those services are engineering design, surveying, right-of-way acquisition, and even construction administrative services. Regardless of the task, all of these services will be led by individuals from our local office and performed by HAP Associates. You know, John and I cut our teeth in the engineering industry working for my dad's survey crews at Bailly Associates just a few years back. Right, Marie, just a few years back? Since then, we have worked on large, important projects such as the Force Main project. And I'll be constantly communicating with John on this project. John?
Thank you, Bobby. As a project manager, I have the reputation of having a very hands-on approach. I have extensive experience with Brownsville PUB's utility systems and have completed over 120 miles of utility line improvements here locally. In fact, we are currently designing 35,000 feet of a 16-inch transmission water line for East Rio Hondo Water Supply Corporation that includes crossing many of the difficult design features. You need someone who has a local experience to handle the crossing of a Resaca and other unique environmental features known only to this area. For this North Regional Force Main Improvement Project, we have comprised a team of multiple engineering disciplines which will be necessary for a successful project. Trey Murray, the principal in charge, is located in our McAllen office. And one of our unique qualifications is our right-of-way team located here in McAllen. Lorena Corpus has over 15 years experience with right-of-way acquisition for TxDOT municipalities and both public and private utilities throughout the valley and the state. Robert Sines is located in McAllen office and will assist with any required pump station design. He is very detailed and meticulous engineer when it comes to submitting any deliverables to the client. Raul Garcia sits close to Robert in the McAllen office and will provide utility design support. Juan Castillo will serve as our team's licensed surveyor. Juan is located also in our McAllen office and has over 25 years experience with all types of surveying projects throughout the valley. In support of our local staff, I just mentioned, the remaining three individuals will provide senior technical oversight for their categories and their skill set, which is important to our local staff support. Our team has completed hundreds of miles of utility improvements within the PUB system and throughout the valley, and our HAP team can provide all services needed for this project out of Brownsville and McAllen offices. In addition, our team has the capacity to fast track this project by providing in-house aerial drone or mobile vehicle mapping surveying, similar to a Google mapping vehicle. Plus, We have our local in-house right-of-way and easement acquisition team. Our SOQ goes into more detail about our firm's local capacities and our familiar projects experiences. In closing, I will turn it over to Bobby.
Thank you, John. Folks, I'm sure we've demonstrated that we have all of the available local depth and bench strength to expedite this project on an accelerated schedule with equipment we have and the people we have. We have the positive relationships with the stakeholders involved and obviously a vested interest in Brownsville. Thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
Any questions?
Staff?
Thank you.
Very welcome.
Thank you to all presenters. Recommended action. BPB staff recommends authorization for the general manager and chief executive officer to enter into contract negotiations with the BPB board selected firm to provide professional engineering and surveying services for the Brownsville North Regional Forest Main project. And I believe the board also has the staff rankings of the three presenting firms.
And Marie, this is John. The staff, yourself, that provided the ranking, you stand by the ranking form?
Yes, sir.
Which firm are you recommending?
It is AECOM.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I missed the rankings for some reason. I looked through the packet, but I didn't see the rankings. I just missed it, obviously. But what were the top choices, Marie, and what were the scores?
They were ranked AECOM, 99 points. Half an Associates, 90 points. Ambiotech, 78 points.
Okay, thanks.
So you need board recommendation?
Yes, we'd like the board to, any of the firms are good, they're all qualified and we wouldn't have them on the list. That's it. Because of the size of this project, that's deferred to the board selection.
And John, just out of curiosity, do we have an estimate on the cost of the project and the cost of the fees for this as well?
Marie, can you answer that?
Yes, sir. This project is going to be most likely broken down into two phases. The first phase is already funded in our current budget, and it is from some carryover funds and also impact fees. And the approximate cost for a phase one, if you split it completely in half, the 8 miles, split them in half, is approximately $2.48 million. And further down in the future, hopefully in our 23-24 year budget, phase two would be another $2.4 million.
That's the total cost of the project?
Cost for construction.
Right. Engineering fees can vary. They can be anywhere from as low as 8% to as high as probably an average of maybe 12% going. They might be a little bit higher right now.
So somewhere
for this particular presentation that you're listening to.
Okay, but is and the fee would be somewhere around $250 to $300.
Yeah, and that's above the 100 limits that the minimum.
Yeah. What we would do is if you select some, we would negotiate a fee, bring it back to the board. You either select it or accept it or reject it.
No, I was just curious about the overall cost of the project and the budget for it.
They're all capable firms. They've all worked with PV. I personally like to see Brownsville or regional firms working, in our areas. That's my opinion.
So I need a recommendation from the board as to which one we're going to decide. If staff is recommending AECOM, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm recommending the highest rank.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, the highest ranked firms are 99. The Leaf, they're 90. I would recommend the Leaf. You know, I think that any other firm can do the work, but it's a local firm with a range here in Brownsville, I think in McAllen. That's what I believe.
Marie, can you elaborate what was on performance record and experience? There's a difference of 5 points. The other ones are pretty close. What is that based on? Because the max points was 30.
Yes, ma'am. I actually did not sit in the ranking committee, but the performance record and experience that comes from the history of each of the firms and the type of projects, the size of projects that they've performed in elsewhere and specifically for VPUB. If the board would like, there's also the project manager, David Ramirez, is on standby if there's if you need more information specifically on that ranking.
Okay, so I probably missed it, but I know the first one said you've been doing business with them 30 years. And how about the second one? How long?
I'm sorry, with Half Associates?
Yes.
Oh my God, Half Associates has been in the Valley for just as long. Okay. I'm not sure how long they've been doing business with BPB, but they've been around for a very long time. And this is with Ambiotech. So I would say that the as far as 30 years, I'm sure all three of them have done some kind of projects with BPB in the last 30 years.
Okay, thank you.
I need some direction from the board as to which one we're going to decide on.
I agree with Mr. Rendon. I think anytime we have a chance to bring in a local firm, it's always the preference, at least for me, especially if costs aren't going to differ that much and they're pretty qualified. The difference here is based on, you know, some equipment and labor resources. I saw both the top two firms are pretty well resourced when it comes to personnel. I'm okay either way.
So I'm gonna, my recommendation would be to go with Halif Associates, Inc.
For my motion.
That's my motion. Sure.
To go with second that half.
Half. Half. Half is it pronounced?
Okay. Is it half that we're going?
Yes.
So you made the motion that we're going to go with half. I need a second. Is that second? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
We're going to go with number 11, which is a consideration and possible action to reject and rebid the purchase of relay switch board panels for the airport substation.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Cesar Cortinas. I am the Director of Electric Transmission and Distribution for PUB. The Brownsville Public Utilities Board Airport Substation is composed of aging and obsolete equipment. BPUB is in the process of upgrading the station in order to maintain the electric reliability in the surrounding areas. The airport substation 69 kV to 138 kV upgrades require 7 new relay switchboard panels. The existing airport substation relay panels are no longer available and increasingly difficult to maintain. Switchboard panels are critical components for the protection, control, and monitoring of the substation equipment. On May 13, 2021, the BPUB Purchasing Department opened bids for the purchase of 7 switchboard panels for the airport project. In the invitation to bid was advertised in the Brownsville Herald on April 18 and 25, 2021, posted on BPV website and emailed to 14 vendors with 6 vendors responding. The BPUB staff began evaluating the bids on May 26, 2021 and requested legal advice on June 28, 2021. On July 9, 2021, legal counsel provided comments and recommendations. On August 9, 2021, the BPUB board selected Crown Technical System of Fontana, California to provide 7 relay switchboard panels for the airport substation in the amount of $261,115. The notice of award and materials contracts were sent to Crown Technical System on August 20, 2021, Upon receiving the documents on August 23rd, the vendor notified DPUV their desire to restructure the contract bid amount due to the price volatility of the raw materials required to manufacture the panels. No contract has been executed. Due to the willingness of the vendor to honor the bid due to the market volatility and the inability to negotiate a material price increase due to the state procurement laws and the fact that all bids are past the 90 days of validity, DPU staff recommends rejecting the bid award to Crown Technical Systems and rebid this item. Davis City Controller Raymond Garza, DC, has no legal objections to rejecting all the bids and rebidding. At this time, DPU staff recommends rejecting the bid award to purchase relay switchboard panels for the airport substation to Crown Technical System of Fontana, California, and rebidding the item. Is there any questions? There's DPU staff and legal staff that can answer any questions.
Anything to add there?
Yeah, I can add something. Had the other vendors, decided to bid, we would still have had to come to the board to reject the bid award and awarded it to the second one. But all the bids are over 90 days and they're not valid. And they're, so we just have to go back to the drawing board. Uh-huh. And we're finding that to be more common now with supply chain the way it is and prices and the volatility of prices.
You have to say that every meeting we're going to have to bring stuff back to is about honoring prices.
Inflation is.
People can't keep up
above what you authorize, and we're going to be rejecting the whole string of things coming down the road here pretty quick.
Yeah, it seems to be the trend. Fernando, is there anything in the procurement process that would protect us from situations like this, or is it pretty much normal for some firms not to be able to honor the price after a certain point?
Well, we had talked to legal about that, and so the vendor who bids can decide not to, and so there's really nothing to hold them to their commitment, because if they can't produce it, they can't produce it. We have the option then to kick them out by coming to the board and going to the next one, but all of those other remaining bids are also proposals and bids are also 90 days and not valid anymore. Not much we can do, and I think that pretty much what's going to happen in the industry. I don't know if Richard has anything to add to that, Richard Linder.
Yeah, this is Richard Linder from Legal. You can put a bid bond in there, a percentage of the contract price that they forfeit if they don't hold their bid firm. But at the end of the day, if the market is so volatile, they're not going to hold the price for 90 days because they're going to eat it, on holding the price. You might see a large drop off on the people willing to even bid because they're looking at, well, if I'm going to lose the bid bond or I'm going to agree to a 90-day quote on this price. So it's there is a tool, but the tool only works to keep people honest who just flat out can't or don't want to continue to honor the price. When the market gets this volatile, it's very hard for a government entity that takes time to bring it to a board to make decisions to react. Because we can use change orders, but it's getting a change order done. Procurement laws are very dicey with negotiation and change orders before contracts are signed.
Is there any mechanism to negotiate with a backup bidder? Is that something, let's just say, for example, in the future that we would have to put in our motions to where if the first bidder isn't able to go through, we can negotiate with a backup or with a second best offer? Is that something that's possible?
We could try to start awarding a second bid. You go ahead and pick the second bidder. Try to have a solution like that. That's one of the things I was talking with Cesar about is thinking about talking to some of these bidders and seeing what might work next time. The bid bond, going with a second bidder. But at the end of the day, I think some of the people were unwilling to come back holding the price for more than 15 days was difficult. And so giving a price, going to the board with a decision, negotiating with the first contractor that falling through, advising the board of that, and then going back to that next bidder, I mean, that just, it just takes time.
I understand that, but what I'm saying, though, Richard, is in a motion, let's say, for example, the motion would typically be to authorize the general manager to enter into a contract with company A, but can future motions be to authorize the general manager to enter into a contract with company A, and if not done within 10 days, then company B? Is that something we can do? Or I'm just trying to figure out a creative way maybe to avoid this in the future.
Yeah, because I use that with some professional services contracts from time to time. So I think something like that can be done. I can work with a motion to present to y'all. It might be a little bit of a longer motion to present, but we can try something like that.
Okay, thanks. I mean, hopefully we don't ever have to use that or do that in the future. Things hopefully get stabilized quickly, but if not.
Yeah, we're also hoping for that too.
So in this case, in order to move forward, you need the motion to reject the bid?
Yes, correct.
So you need a motion to reject the bid?
Sure.
First, Mr. Sampa, second. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Final item, number 12, consideration and possible action to reject and rebid the purchase of steel structures for the airport substation.
Again, this is me. Good night already, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. And my name is Cesar Cortina, Director of Electric Transmission and Distribution for BPUB. The Brownsville Public Utilities Board Airport Substation is composed of aging and obsolete equipment. PPUB is in the process of upgrading the station in order to maintain the electric reliability in the surrounding areas. The airport substation 69 kV to 138 kV over requires new steel structures to meet the design requirements specified by the PPUB's consulting firm, ESC Engineering. Existing steel structures do not meet the design specifications required for the substation upgrade. On June 24, 2021, the PUB Purchasing Department opened bids for the purchase of steel structures for the airport substation project. The invitation of bid was advertised in the Brownsville Herald on May 30 and June 6, posted on WPUB website and emailed to 13 vendors with 3 vendors responding. NBA Power, INC of Montreal, Quebec, provided 2 bid responses. A base bid response of $542,289.05, and an alternate bid for $317,582.14. During the evaluations, the BPUB Purchasing Department sent an email requesting clarifications to all the vendors to confirm the validity of the bids for a 90-day period. On July 8, the BPUB Purchasing staff sent the email clarifications to NBA Power for the base bid of $542,289.05. On the same day, NBA Power confirmed the base bid was valid for 90 days. The electric engineering staff proceeded with the recommendation of the alternate bid award to NBA Power without knowing that the base bid price was honored instead of the alternate bid price. On August 9, the electric engineering staff recommended the BPUB board selection of NBA Power of Montreal, Quebec in the amount of $317,582.14, which is the alternate bid price. The notice of award of and material contracts were mailed on August 20, 2021 and received by the vendor on September 3rd. On September 9th, the vendor notified BPUB they would not be able to honor the alternate price approved by the BPUB board because they did not validate the alternate bid for 90 days. On the same day, NBA Power advised they would also not be able to honor the alternate price due to the higher steel market. BPUB recommends rejecting the bid award to NBA Power and rebidding this item. Davis Controller Raymond Garza PC reviewed the bids and found no legal problems going before the board to reject all bids. BPVC recommends rejecting the bid award to purchase steel structures for the airport substation to NBA Power INC of Montreal, Quebec, and rebidding the item. It's a similar situation that we experience here.
Same as the previous one, so if we can get a motion to reject.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Need a motion to adjourn?
To adjourn.
I so move. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
No, anybody opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.